Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everybody. We're here every week. If you haven't heard us before, thank you for listening for the first time. If you want to call in and talk to us at any time in the show, you're welcome to do so. Local in Phoenix, the number is 602-277-KFNX. If you're listening to us online, you can check out our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, and we've got a toll-free 866 number for you to call in also at any time. Later today, we will be having two guests, people who basically run and create the online magazine called The Gamer's Quarter. It's actually one of the guys is a good friend of mine from the past. He's actually called into the show a couple times. But in the past month or two, this thing has become, I'd say, quite successful considering what it is. A web magazine, historically, I haven't seen too many of these things do well, right? Zines don't take off. Nate and Ian are in the studio with me, as usual.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
That was Ian and Nate. All right, so we're going to have this interview coming up, which is good because there's not a lot of other things to talk about this week. As usual, after E3, it's weak. If you go to some of the gaming news sites these days, there's not a whole lot to talk about. But there are some things I want to bring up. The PSP we talked about, it was getting cracked, right, so that you can play your own homebrew stuff on it. You remember this, right?
Yeah, right. I remember that myself.
It officially was released this week, the software you need for it, and you can go to various sites to find that. One that I like to see about all the underground PlayStation 2 and PlayStation-related stuff is PS2info.com. Anyway, so you can download, if you have a PSP that has firmware 1.5, which basically means you bought it in the U.S. and you haven't gone online and upgraded the firmware, then you'll be able to run this stuff, and you can run like MAME to run old arcade games, or Doom and Doom 2 previously for the PC, or any number of emulators. And what I think the big breakout application for this will be, have you put any thought into this, Nate?
Not really.
All right, so we all know the PSP has Wi-Fi built in, right?
Yes.
We're aware of this.
Yes.
Okay, now you've got this beautiful looking screen, 4 inches, 4.5, whatever it is, in your hand, and you've got Wi-Fi, which you can connect to your PC and your home network, right? And you could stream all of your Windows Media Center files or your movies or cartoons or your porn or whatever you want to watch on your little PSP, stream from the comfort of your home.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That'd be great.
In the palm of your hand.
Yes. So, quite
literally. Wow, that actually gives me reason to get a PSP.
Exactly. Now, no one has announced that they're even working on this product, but I'm sure someone is. The Xbox scene is full of people doing that. There's an excellent homebrew product called Xbox Media Center, which is just flat out ripping off the Microsoft Media Center, but it works wonderfully and does great things and connects to your home network and all that stuff. So the day someone does that for the PSP is the day you see a lot more of the PSPs sold. Of course, by then they'll probably be upgraded so that we'll need more cracks to run on newer firmware and stuff.
But yeah,
but that's like what, couple weeks away.
Yeah, then someone will just release a chip so you can open up the PSP and you won't even need, you know, a special way to do it. You just put in a mod chip and.
Wow, you can do that with Sony products?
What a crazy idea.
Wow. Yeah, who would have thought?
So I'm sure that'll happen, and when somebody has a Media Center extender thing for the PSP, that'll be fantastic. Now, what else is going on? Do you guys have any news to discuss?
Alien Hominid for the Xbox, I was saying that. That's about the only thing I can think of any significance.
See, I wonder if that's news, because...
Yeah, that was in GDC, they said that.
Yeah, we talked to the guys running the Alien Hominid place. What's the name? Argonaut?
Something. Huguenot? Something like that.
Studios.
Yeah.
Wes, the guy we're interviewing, will know this.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was telling us they're working on it for Xbox. The only thing, I guess, that was holding them up is all the Xbox Live compatibility.
Yeah.
And they want to have worldwide release and all that stuff. So, I think. We're working on, like, 3 months of memory now. So, there was another thing I read the past couple weeks, actually. This has been pretty much high up on the list of news. I guess people found it interesting. There was a girl who... I don't know if she works for EGM or 1UP. Did you read that she went into stores and, like, did some reconnaissance by pretending she was a dumb girl who didn't know anything about video games?
No, I didn't read this, but this will be very interesting.
It is sort of good stuff. Let me try to find this interview again. It wasn't an interview. It's just sort of a replay of what happened. All right, so she went into 4 stores, GameStop, Toys R Us, Best Buy, and EB Games. And the GameStop actually, and she sort of has, like, the summary of what happened. At the bottom, she agrees that the GameStop one was fairly good. She asks, like, what's the best system to buy for my boyfriend? The guy recommended PS2 or Xbox, you know, as opposed to GameCube. And that's...
Oh, thanks.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah. He's pretty much right. Online gaming, Xbox. Most powerful,
definitely.
Xbox. What about the GameCube? He said it's more for kids, whatever. So he had all the right answers, all the accurate answers. And, you know, I want everybody to own a GameCube too. But
yes, as do I.
We got to face the facts.
I know, it's true.
It's the family system.
It is.
Now, here's the great one. So she goes into Toys R Us, and she didn't even have to do a lot of pretending here. She just starts off, my boyfriend says more polygons are better. What are those? And this is great. The clerk says, let me ask about that. And he asks a coworker. And that coworker didn't know. So he calls Mike on the intercom. Oh, no, Mike doesn't know either. Just doesn't know what a polygon is. I don't know what that is. I know about megabytes. The PS2 has more.
I think Hasbro makes polygons.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And you put them in a bucket, right?
Yay.
So he says, I know about megabytes. The PS2 has more. And who knows what he's even talking about. But, of course, he's wrong in any possible respect there.
They have super bytes, too.
And then she asks, do any of these hook up to the PC? And she's not very – the question isn't very specific, right? Do they hook up to the PC? That could be interpreted in many different ways. He says, I don't know that either. He asks somebody. He says, oh, yeah, both of them hook up to the PC.
But both? They do.
Right. Now, I can't think of how you hook up your Xbox – or I couldn't, rather, when I first read this – how you would hook up your Xbox or your PS2 to your PC. But, of course, I just mentioned the Xbox Media Center.
Exactly.
Which directly connects it.
Yeah.
Now, what bothers me – and we were sort of talking about this on the way over here today – is when – someone has an article, such as the one I'm talking about right now, where she spied on people, and then has information which is sort of like talking about how her research, she found other people who were wrong, right? But she was wrong, because at the bottom here, it says it's the only console that can hook up to a PC, the Xbox, through Xbox Media Center. Of course, that's wrong. You two don't even know this, I bet. But the PS2 had software that you could buy, even at EB Games, right? So it was basically Xbox Media Center. It just, didn't have that name. It was a third-party software, but it did all the Media Center stuff where you could stream MP3s and movies and stuff. So you could just as easily hook up the PS2 to your PC anyway. And my problem here is the article writer is wrong while she's making fun of somebody else for being wrong. That's what I think is funny. And I've seen that a few times. I think I made fun of GameSpot for saying, and in fact, Gamasutra did the same thing. They think that the Xbox has a 40-gig hard drive, which I repeatedly find interesting.
Yeah.
And now, the best part of the Toys R Us interview, where is it here? Okay. She asked about the portable systems. For all these stores, she asked, should I get a PSP or a DS? Her specific question is, for portable games, should I get a DS or a PSP? The guy says, PSP, it has music. It's like an organizer. It's a palm reader. You play your PS2 games on there. You can download from the internet. I'd recommend waiting for it. Everyone's waiting for it. And she, of course, she says, palm reading? So since when did the PSP become a hotline to Miss Cleo? And I just thought this was interesting reading.
Yeah.
Probably why it's at the top of the list, since no other news is going on.
I had no idea my handhelds could foresee the future.
Yeah.
I'd have expect the Toys R Us guy to recommend the Game Gear.
I'm sure.
Or Nomad.
I'm sure what he meant was more like a Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Although it's also not at all like a Palm Pilot, but... So the guy was off in more than one way. But
I mean, in their defense, I mean, it's KB, you know.
They sell all sorts of
this
toys.
This is Toys R Us.
Well, Toys R Us.
Listen, you don't talk badly about KB. They're high caliber over there. But I think this is a trend that a lot of us have seen, and perhaps we could go into more detail about this if we had the interest or the time, just about America's fascination with retail and how basically everyone's dumb in the retail stores, or rather not knowledgeable.
Yeah.
About their product.
Well, when you're being paid $5.15 an hour, I mean, these aren't people that are really...
Hey, I took pride in what I knew when I worked at EB Games and GameStop, but clearly those are the stores that did a little bit better in this interview process.
Well, people that are into games, they want to work there, you know.
Exactly. I was thinking about this the other day, too, because there's a new show on FX, I think. Morgan Spurlock, the guy who did the McDonald's
movie. Oh, yeah, the
30
Days thing, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so his first episode was about he and his girlfriend pretending... To live off minimum wage.
They weren't pretending. They were.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's a lot easier to live on minimum wage when you know you won't have to in 30 days.
Yeah.
But they tried. It was an interesting experiment where they had to get jobs for minimum wage, and then he ended up getting a job that wasn't minimum wage anyway, but still low-paying and had
Cheater.
To live in wherever they needed to live. I think Ohio somewhere. And trying to make the point that, you know, a lot of people, they do pretty well considering the circumstances of not making a lot of money. And I was thinking, like, what jobs really do pay minimum wage these days? Because even McDonald's pays really well, considering it's like $7 or $7.50, depending on where you live.
Well, you know, my first job when I was 15, I got paid more. I got paid $6.50.
Really?
Start. Yeah. I was washing dishes.
Man,
I
mean, and my first job was EB. Well, the first real job, right, was EB. And I was making pretty darn close to minimum wage. And then, you know, I got a raise and it pushed up a bit, but still, like, very, very little. Then I moved down to Arizona from the Northeast, where their standard of living is lower. So after, like, 4 years pass, I go get a part-time job at EB again. And they had to, like, get special clearance just to pay me what they used to pay me 4 years ago at the old EB, because it was more than they normally pay their people down here, which I just found amazing. And you're right, though. The thing is, people want to work at these game stores. And so the companies have the privilege of paying them nothing.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I think that job requires a little bit more knowledge than, you know, your grocery bagger or whatever.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of
job at eBay.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, like, 10 years of history of video games stored in your head.
Yeah.
Right? And I do.
Since I was three.
As well.
That's
we are
15. Whoa.
Elite video game salesmen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of us turn up to be, like, the EB guy that this woman interviewed and her summary of the EB experience. Is this, I want to get this right. Yeah, EB Games. A veritable video game expert, but this guy was clearly hoping to wait on someone else who knew more about video games. I guess he was a big ass the whole time. And I'm sure you've seen people in these high-caliber video game stores.
No, no. Elitism there? Never.
Yeah, of course.
They're most certainly not in introverts.
Man, if we started a store, we probably wouldn't sell a single game. Everyone would walk out disgusted. All right, we're going to come back. Hopefully, we'll have the interview going on with Wes and Matt from the Gamers Quarter. Check out chatterboxgameshow.com for a link to their site. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Hello, folks. We're back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, and I want to remind you that, well, first of all, you should go to UAT.edu. If you love our show, you probably love video games, and you should go to UAT.edu to learn about how to get in the industry yourself. Wonderful school, University of Advancing Technology here in the Valley. Also, if you want to call us, talk to us, or talk to our guests, you are free to do so. Welcome. We would enjoy it, even, if you did. Call 602-277-KFNX, or check out our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, for the 866 number. I think it's 866-536-1100. Andrew can always correct me if I'm wrong.
Call in and tell us.
No, I think I'm right.
Okay.
That would be correct.
Yes! Okay. All right. So now, do we have our guests on the line?
Hello?
We do indeed.
Hey, who am I talking to right now?
My name's Matt Williamson from Gamers Quarter. I guess people know me as either Schaefer MC or the Editor-in-Chief. Either way, Matt's fine.
Right on. All right, so Matt's here. Now, is Wes also on the line?
Yes, I'm Wes. People know me as Super Wes.
Super Wes.
Super Wes.
Dude, I don't have much of a name. I just use, like, my nickname that nobody uses is Moelon, and that's what I do when I go online.
You Moelon when you go online?
You know all the video games I play. I'll be Moelon. What about you, Nate? Do you have a special?
I don't know. I went with Sharp back in 98 when the internet thing kind of got on and just kind of stuck.
So your name is Sharp?
Yeah, it was based off my radio at the time.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, so let's move on to this interview. All right, so Wes is an old friend of mine. He's helping to run this web-based magazine. I want you guys, I guess, Matt, you're the editor-in-chief. You should tell me, like, the goal behind the magazine, or what you were trying to accomplish when you started this?
Really, all I wanted to do was put another option out there for people to read. There's more than enough reviews with just numbers, and there's not really too much going on as far as, you know, the perspective side from playing the game and from growing up with games. You find people who will have played games since they were 5 years old and younger, and they're reading the same reviews they were reading basically when they were 5 years old. And it hasn't really changed much. And when you go into film or music, you find reviews more in this manner. But you really don't find this kind of thing in games. And even though, you know, I really didn't know what I was doing, I was tired of hearing people complain that there's nothing like it. So I went out and found as many people as I could and tried to make something like it.
So should I throw out the term new games journalism, or would you get upset?
No, we might as well.
Well, as far as I understand, there's been sort of, controversy over the use, because something came out. I don't even remember where it started. Maybe I read it on Slashdot. That's at least where I saw it for the first time. Talking about this new concept called new games journalism, where people describe more their experience than whatever it is, you know, is in the headline. They're not talking about the game itself, but more how they felt when
right.
they were playing it. Is that sort
right.
of the core idea of this new games thing?
Yes.
All right.
Basically.
I don't mean to refer to it in such a trivial way, the new games thing.
I like the idea of that.
Well, it's kind of hard. Well, no one's really tried to... I mean, they've tried to define it, but it's still kind of out there what new game journalism is.
Well, here, I want to describe an experience that I had today. Wes insisted that I read some of this before we go on the air and have an interview. And I, of course, was like, well, of course I'm going to read it before I do the interview. So... I did take a look at it, and I read the article I chose to read, which was still very long. It's a gamer's world out there. And I'm not even going to describe this yet, but the first thing, first experience I had, the first feeling that hit my gut, I opened up this PDF file representing your online magazine, and I don't know if you guys realize this, it's 116 pages.
Yeah.
Has this hit your brains yet?
Yeah,
All right.
Had to.
Have you looked at an EGM lately?
Yeah, we don't have ads either.
That was the point I was going to make.
Yeah.
Now,
I appreciated that.
Now, gamers are notorious for not wanting to read a lot.
I know you are, Alon. I mean, I play RPGs. I like reading.
They want their reading to be within the game.
True, we're hoping our next issue has voice acting.
Built right into the PDF. Now, I was amazed by that. First of all, my heart sank when I saw that. Oh, crap. Right, and then I found the article, and it was interesting to read the article, but I also was thinking to myself, I'm not sure what it is I'm reading. I didn't know if there was a point that was coming across, and eventually it did come across. And it was just sort of like, it's kind of like when you read Newsweek. I guess a lot of our listeners might not be big Newsweek readers.
Oh, who doesn't? I mean,
but one of those popular magazines, right, Businessweek or Newsweek, where they're just... I don't know. They're not necessarily talking about something. They're more talking about the state of something. Or like you said, the experience someone has. And I'm very interested to see how this has become so popular, because even though a lot of people might not have heard of it yet, it has picked up quite a bit of steam. And where was sort of your first big piece of attention for the Gamers Quarter?
Well, Slashdot, but unfortunately it was negative.
Now, Wes was telling me you guys have had a lot of negative response to this.
Luckily, issue 2 wasn't met with quite the negative response that issue 1 was.
Not by people who actually read it.
So, right. So what were the problems you saw in the first one, and do you think that people's complaints were warranted?
Well, honestly, no. Most of the complaints weren't warranted. Some of them were, like that our issues are kind of, you know, unprofessional looking, but none of us are really professionals.
I really wouldn't stand to expect all that much right now from a fledgling web magazine. You guys haven't exactly gone to print yet.
Yeah, they're only on issue 3, I believe.
Two.
Two?
Two was just released this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so people were sort of complaining about the professionalism, and I say screw them.
Right.
Now, what about the actual articles? Because, of course, the whole point of this is to get beyond the face value of the other things that we read and do something a little bit different, which, by the way, is sort of what I've been trying to do with this show. But we won't talk about ourselves.
We do that enough every other weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to clarify the whole new games journalism thing.
Go for it.
Because I don't think anyone who writes for the magazine set out to meet any kind of specific, like, here's what we want our articles to be like. It wasn't like we want our articles to fit a certain template. It's basically... I think most of the people who write for it, we just want to make sure they're doing something new or trying to get across a feeling rather than just trying to tell what it's like to play, or like what if the game runs at 1080p or like if the control was good. I mean, those things are important to a certain extent, but like it's not. They don't really change.
You guys are the Friday night poetry readings at the coffee shop of video game magazines. That analogy I would produce anyway.
They're the new emo of the gaming journalism.
I don't even understand that reference, so I'm going to move on.
All right.
I like poetry.
Ian, by the way, is your key demographic. I told him, I said, listen, we're going to have these guys on the show. You need to read this before the show starts. He's like, man, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah,
I had to get on my bike to this place.
I had to stop reading in the middle of the Sonic the Hedgehog article because I was about to be late. But, everything that I read was it was intelligent. Like, so many other video game magazines that I've read are just, they just seem so dumbed down, and I just appreciated everything in the sense of...
So this leads me into a question that I'm going to ask, and then we'll go to break. I want to know how you select the articles for the magazine, if they are selected, rather than just taking everything that people send at you. So get ready to answer that. I want to hear how you actually create this thing and how you get this stuff contributed. We'll be back in just a couple minutes after the news. All right, so stay tuned, everybody.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
We're back once again. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. We are going to continue our interview with the guys behind the Gamers Quarter magazine. Everybody should go to gamersquarter.com, and you can actually download this for yourself. And if you have a week or two, you could probably read it all. Wes and Matt, I propose this question to you. I wanted to know how you actually get all of these articles, because I know that it's not all done in one particular spot. You've got contributions from all over the place, anyone who wants to submit something. Am I right? Can anyone submit for this?
Anyone can submit, yes.
All right. And so how do you actually make the selections of what you want to be in it?
Well, we have sort of regular stuff, which is most of what contributes right now. And as far as what gets in from that, we usually try to take ideas in, and we tell everybody to run with the ideas that sound good, sound like something interesting to read. We've turned down a few ideas, but most of the ideas from the staff have been pretty good to start out with. So we really haven't had any problem with turning anything down yet.
So do you have like a solid staff core?
Yes. Right now, yes. We also have a solid contribution base, too.
All right. Now, I know that Wes, I didn't make mention of this earlier, but Wes has some experience writing for a magazine. It might not be in this country, but he still does it. And he's also had experience writing strategy guides in the past for Brady. Do you have any experience in this field at all, Matt?
Not really. Not professionally, at least.
All right. Well, this is a really good start. And I'm sort of wondering how you guys are... I don't know, to ask, like, if you're coping with the success, if that's the right way to put it, but I know Wes told me you got Slashdotted, and a bunch of other people noticed you guys on the web, and recently MTV even caught wind of this whole thing. We've been trying to do that with our radio show. We can't even get Slashdot to pay attention to us. But, like, has there been any real effect from that? Have you noticed, like, has anybody approached you wanting to... advertise in the magazine or take it a business route, or have you guys thought about printing it at all for distribution? Like, how has this possibly developed?
Well, I'll let Wes handle the printing stuff, but as far as advertising, I wish we would get some. That's pretty much what's holding up printing of any kind of mass scale. We also have no way to judge the demographic for it.
No way to judge. Now, you guys can see how many people are downloading, right?
Yes, but just because somebody's downloaded it, they could have had the same experience as you, opened it up, saw that it was 116 pages, glanced through the headlines, and...
I'll tell you what, if I'm holding a magazine in my hand, I like it to be thick.
Yeah.
If I open it up on the web, oh, crap. But Wes, tell me about this. What efforts have you guys made to make this actually printed and maybe get it out there to people who wouldn't have seen it on the web?
Well, I did a lot of research on printing for the last issue and again for this issue. And I had pretty much everything set up to actually print it at my work where we're printing like professional things for the government.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get in the binding strips to perfect bind the issue in time because they're basically all over the country. They're on back order, so I didn't get to print it this issue. We've looked into professional things too, and the biggest issue there is the time it takes, because the issues get released on the 15th of the month, and we're working on them pretty much up until the day of the 15th of the month.
Like the more you guys talk, I got to tell you, it sounds more and more like a real magazine.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how everybody else does it.
Yeah.
Now, what does it matter, though, if you guys print one up and release it next month, if the people, you know, at the local comic store haven't seen it yet? It would be fresh to them anyway, right?
Yeah, but right. We would expect most of the people that want to buy it to buy it online. Or, like...
To download it online.
Then you could... No, buy it. Like, to buy a copy online and then have it be shipped to them.
Oh,
that's interesting. Just like you didn't want to read the PDF. We've gotten that response a lot.
Ian and over here was telling me he would be paying for it to get shipped to his house.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you were talking in the break about you were going to print it out. Like,
yeah, I was highly considering printing it out at my house, you know, from the PDF, and then I realized that would take both more paper than I had and more time than I had.
See, I'm excited on a personal level to see a project that a friend of mine is involved in become successful like this. And I don't know if it's not baffling to me. Like, it's we've discussed in the past different writing styles. And it's, for some people, it's difficult to read something like this because it's not what they're interested in, because this is like we were saying, it's very different than what's out there right now. And so there might be this large niche of people who are sort of aching to get this sort of writing in their hands, and there's a whole bunch that are already catered to who don't want it. Have you thought about trying to cater to that other audience as well to try and, I don't know, hedge your bets in your core demographic at all, or do you just want to stick with what you've got and the people who like it and screw everybody else?
Well, initially I had intended to put better reviews in there, and then I realized that most of the time they just kind of turn into standard reviews anyways. So we're kind of faded away from doing reviews of games as much, but we don't want to close off on that area. So
it seems like it wouldn't be the strength of the magazine, honestly, because
it wouldn't.
How it covers. Now, what are some of the most controversial things that have come out from issues 1 and 2? Have you had a lot of people complaining about something other than the professional look of it?
Well,
the editing.
we're slowly finding out better ways of editing all the time, and I've been contacting as many people who are willing to offer out help if they're willing to edit too, and everybody says that they wouldn't be able to because they're like me and don't really have the skills to edit.
Finding new ways to edit, does that just mean that Wes has a longer whip with which to hit you with, Matt? Is that what that means?
No, using the different programs for communicating back and forth, we have the track changes with Word, but the problem with that is when you go back and you actually correct all the changes, it looks very messy in the track changes form. So when you get rid of all the original stuff, you'll have missing spaces, you'll have extra words, double apostrophes or whatever.
So you're running into all the same problems that a normal publisher would come into.
I would hope that they'd be a little more have a little more experience than us.
Now, everybody had to start somewhere. Tell me about the MTV thing. Did they contacted you, right, Matt?
Yes. I got an email, and it was titled MTV, and I'm like, oh, great, spam. And I opened it up, and it's somebody who said that they read the first issue and they were practically in love with it, and that they wanted to contact me because they felt that there was a story to be told. And I was kind of in shock and responded, and then an interview happened a few days later.
Now, you know what I think is most important here? Forget the magazine. We need to make the realization that the geekhood, our brotherhood of geekdom, has spread to all areas of the universe. We have people working undercover at MIT, or I'm sorry, MTV.
Yeah.
They're not undercover at MIT.
At MIT, I think they're pretty open about that.
Yeah. We have people infiltrating MTV studios, MTV.com. The geeks are everywhere, and so that really helps me out.
Well, you know, a lot of gaming is cool now, if you haven't noticed.
It has become cool. You know, actually, I read an article recently about even nerds are in.
And how well does Madden sell?
Oh, wow, it's 10 years late.
Nerds are cool.
It has.
If you go to Hot Topic, you can see all of the nerd clothes there. Apparently, we're popular.
Well, that's the nerd migration into the black arts.
I feel so disappointed it's not underground anymore. It's now kind of mainstream.
All right.
Oh, well.
Now, Ian, you said that you basically loved this as soon as you put your eyes on it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, well, no, because so I went to the site because I had seen, you know, I was checking off our website to see things. So I went to the Gamers Quarter website and looking through some of the articles just listed, and I saw popped up a thing about Chrono Trigger.
That's this kid's love child.
Yeah. The only game that I love more than Chrono Trigger is Super Metroid, and possibly WoW. But anyway, yeah. So I read through the Chrono Trigger article, and it was every single bit of it was just the words I've always wanted to say about the game, and now I'm reading it. It was delightful.
So here's what I want to understand. I want to understand what made the writing here so special for you, Ian, that you...
Well, it was just written in just such an intelligent way that...
But what was it? It wasn't a review of this game that came out 10 years ago. It was...
It was kind of defending it from, like, Final Fantasy VII, and that it, in and of itself, was... It's that you've kind of have... Like, it's talking about JRPGs, and that... mainly discussing... It kind of seemed to me that it was saying that Chrono Trigger should be looked at and not just people stuck with Final Fantasy VII or beyond.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how many articles, Matt, do you write for this in the typical month? Which I know there's only two out right now, so it's hard to say one's typical.
I've written two editorials. That's my claim to fame on this.
Now, isn't every article an editorial here?
Yeah, pretty much, but the editorial of the magazine itself, how's that?
All right.
I was working on an article with Nippon Ichi Games, who put out Dysgea and La Pucelle Tactics. But that ended up, I don't know why, but that ended up not following through because of translation reasons from the office in Japan.
Next issue.
We'll have that next issue.
Now, does this actually, it's called the Gamer's Quarter. Does it come out every quarter or every month?
Every quarter, yeah.
All right, but on the 15th of the month, as Wes said.
The 15th of the month of that quarter.
Exactly. So have you thought about breaking it up, making it not so big and releasing more often?
No, not really.
Is that because you want to make sure everything's perfect by the time it releases?
It would add a lot of work to do it every month like that. Most of the time is not spent with putting together the articles. It's more editing and formatting them into InDesign so they can go through PDF format.
All right, we're going to break, so hold that thought. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, folks.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I want to take another second to remind you all that you can go to uat.edu to learn about how to get into the video game industry with a professional education in the gaming arts. Also, give us a call at 602-277-KFNX or 866-536-1100. That's toll-free anywhere in the U.S. Also, go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. You can podcast our show if you want to hear it again later or download any of our past shows. And, of course, you can download the shows directly from there as well. Now, we still have Wes and Matt from the Gamers Quarter on the line. We've talked about their Gamers Quarter quarterly web magazine, which if you're in for a new experience in gaming editorial, I definitely suggest taking a look at. It's gamersquarter.com. But I'm going to shy away from discussion of their magazine for this last segment because there's some news I want to cover and a couple questions I just want to ask these guys since they're hardcore gamers. At least I make that assumption, Matt, not knowing you personally, that you're also hardcore gamer, right?
I could be labeled as that, I guess.
Right on. Now, I know that lots of articles and things, not necessarily in your magazine, but everywhere, have been written about, you know, what makes someone hardcore, who's cooler than the other person for liking this game or that game, or knowing about Chrono Trigger versus Final Fantasy VII or whatever.
Or Super Metroid. Nobody seems to play that anymore.
Well,
I'm actually playing Super Metroid right now.
Woo-hoo! Really? All right, well, put down the controller and pay attention to the radio show.
Love that game.
So here's what I want to ask you. There's sort of like this sinking feeling in my stomach, which I think is shared by all of the people in our hardcore gaming community, where there's been this economical success in the video game industry of the last several years, which has sort of degraded the state of the union, the state of the industry. And I sort of, I want to wonder, like, what's happening right now and the past few months and actually the past couple of years specifically, Hollywood has been latching on to this. And even just last week, we were talking about how SAG backed down from striking. They were actually threatening to strike and not do voice acting anymore in the gaming industry. And how do you guys feel about this infiltration of Hollywood and pop culture into the video games that we've been playing for way before they figured it out? Anybody?
Well, for me, yeah, go ahead, Wes.
Wes, I choose you.
Okay, I think that as long as they keep in mind that it's a game, it can definitely help games. Because production quality is something that everyone thinks is nice, and that, like, if you can have it, it's always, well, not depending on the game type. Depending on the game, it's often better to have a higher production quality. And that with that comes better voice acting, better music, better like more Hollywood-like productions. But I think if they're going to make something that's more like a Hollywood movie, they need to remember, like, or they need to learn from games that try to tell a story. Like a Metal Gear Solid told a story with Hollywood style productions, and it really shows you how it can be used to really actually as part of the gameplay.
Now, I know we're all aware of a lot of the movies coming out, but I just found out today that Tecmo was allowing the creation of a Dead or Alive movie.
That's horrible.
All right, now Matt, I'm going to ask you this. They mentioned a lot of the cast members who are going to be acting in this movie, and one of them was Jamie Presley. I think she's going to be playing Tina, who's the especially buxom blonde American character in the Tecmo game. Now, my thought on this is that I bet she's not the right choice, and you know why? You're going to love this. I don't think she has the right blood type.
Well, it depends on which manual you look inside of, the blood type.
Wow, man. You look through, you know that much about the characters?
Well, no, I'm trying to make the point that there's differences in cultures here.
Oh.
And I assume that you, as well as Matt, are aware of the obsession with the role-playing and character in these games, where in a fighting game, no one cares about a lot of the details of these women, except maybe their breast size.
But of course, why you get Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, but in every Japanese game since the dawn of time, blood type has been very important. I think it's a cultural thing. I'm sure you know a lot more about it than me.
Yeah, well, like you need to know that.
It's a cultural thing. I'm reading Power Up right now, which was written by Chris Kohler, and he actually discusses in it how blood type and other things like that are used in Japan and how it relates to the culture. It's a really excellent book if you can get over the Final Fantasy fanboy side of it.
So how do you feel about Tecmo and the Dead or Alive movie?
I don't. I like that the Silent Hill movie's coming out.
Well, I think an especially interesting thing that I found in the Tecmo article, or the article about the Dead or Alive movie, is that apparently there's also a Tekken movie coming out. Did you know about that?
No.
No. All right. See, everybody, we have this collective sigh.
There's also a postal movie coming out by U Bowl.
Say that again?
There's also a postal movie coming out by U Bowl.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wait, did you say postal?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's ruining everybody's
The story's week. Just right there. I mean,
no cats will be harmed in the making of the film.
Kill everybody. All right. Well, I have said, on the show a million times, talk about the degradation of the gaming industry due to really the Hollywoodization of things. And it's something that, you know, Warren Spector has brought into the open several times. And as much as I'd love to get everyone's opinion on this, we don't have a whole lot of time to cover it. But I'm wondering if there is anything out there in the industry right now, any timely news that you guys would like to bring to the forefront that maybe I didn't notice.
Well, you were talking earlier how the PSP now has emulation, and I've been playing Nintendo games on my PSP all day.
Now, what do you think that's going to do to Sony? Do you think they're going to have a strong reaction and come out and start suing people?
I doubt they're going to start suing people just yet. They're probably going to, the next big game release is going to have a firmware update that's going to be mandatory, and you're not going to be able to play emulation on it if you want to play the game anymore.
So what's your take on that? Would you rather buy the game and stop the emulation or keep the emulation going?
I was actually just talking with Wes about this the other day, and I was debating on buying a second PSP just so I could keep this one at version 5.0.
But then, you know,
1.50.
You're just going to have a cousin come play the game, go online, and accidentally update it.
And then not to kill him.
Yes. No, it's a big thing for me having all these games portable, and especially since my wife plays video games too, she'll take over the TV and I'm stuck on the couch with nothing to do aside from my Game Boy Advance.
Oh. All right. Now, how old are you, Matt? In a range. 24? All right.
Yeah.
Married at 24. I'm older than that, not married. Wow. That's wacky to me. All right. So,
I've been married for 5 years, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
All right. So I know the answer to this from Wes's perspective. Have any of you ruined a relationship with an actual human woman because of your gaming addiction?
No.
No. Probably because you've been with this lady for 5 years. Awfully long time. Wes.
Yeah, look for a... I think I'm going to write an article on it.
What happened to you? Tell me the story. I want an exclusive before you write your article.
There's so many stories. I wouldn't say anything caused a relationship to end specifically, but I do remember spending a lot of time trying to play role-playing games while talking to girls on the phone. And have you ever tried to do that? It's really hard because you're trying to pay attention to the story and read. And I guess. So I think that I kind of ended a lot of relationships on accident by just having them repeat everything over and over again because I was like, huh?
Start calling her Tara.
I may have missed a couple days, but...
See, now I just... Wow. The simple solution to that would be to hang up. And not...
No.
Something's burning. I'll call you back in a few hours.
Does that work with girls?
Don't ask me.
I don't know. We're not the one to come to with relationship advice. I ruin my relationships for totally different reasons. Not for playing role-playing games. It's for playing Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to thank you guys very much for joining us for today's show. I'm sorry that some of your readers didn't call in to ask you questions personally. That would have been a lot more exciting. You know, you can always come back in the future, especially when you guys explode and I find you on newsstands everywhere across the country. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Not a problem.
Yep. All right. And everybody should go to gamerscorner.com to download their most recent issue. And look for issues in the future. 3 months from now, I bet they'll have issue number 3 out. That's sort of their style. All right, so we have just about no time left.
That's about right.
All right, now,
so it seems.
Next week, as usual, we will be back at 7 p.m. Western, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we'll talk about the lack of news that has been hitting everywhere.
You should tell about your saga of getting your projector and all the trial and tribulations.
I do have a projector, but until I actually have it mounted and working, I can't talk about it.
And I'll just ramble on about old games and World of Warcraft.
One of these days. We'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.